If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And we're going to talk about a case that's in the headlines right now, and that's Sonya Massey, the shooting of Sonya Massey. And we're going to talk about it in a couple different ways, because sometimes we wait until all the information comes out, but I think we have enough at this point to discuss it. There's a couple different videos that are associated with this case. One is from the officer who shot Sonya, and then there's been a more recent video that was released of an officer who had his body cam footage on the entire time, where before, like during the interaction, which is extremely important to kind of come up to your own conclusion here. So
it's important for context,
for sure. I've seen Grayson's video. I have not seen the other deputy's video footage, which I think is extremely important. So we're actually going to watch it together with you guys, all the footage for anybody who hasn't seen it. And I'm also going to discuss my own police-involved shooting. For anybody who doesn't know, I was involved in a shooting early on in my career as a patrolman. So I do think I have some perspective on this that not many people in the world have. And I think I'm definitely qualified to weigh in on this because, again, I've been through it. So we're gonna watch the videos. Before we do that, for anyone who doesn't know about this case, Stephanie, fill us in on some of the details.
Well, this happened on July 6th in Sagamore County, Illinois, Springfield, Illinois, to be specific. Apparently, a woman, 36-year-old Sonya Massey, she called the police. And we don't know exactly what she called the police for.
Apparently for an intruder. Apparently for a possible intruder. That's what we've learned.
She called them for help, as you do, called the police for.
Correct. Nobody called on her.
Yeah. Yes. Nobody called on her. That's what's important to know at this point. The police arrive. They're kind of speaking to her calmly outside her house for a little bit. They go inside. Sonya's got a pot of boiling water on the stove, or something's boiling on the stove. The police officers sort of step back. You can see this in the body camera. And she asks at one point, what are you doing? Where are you going? And the officer in question, whose name is Sean Grayson, he says, oh, I'm getting away from the boiling water. Ha ha. And then literally just the situation devolves in moments.
Yeah.
It's very hard to understand what this police officer was thinking in this moment. So what I need to tell you is that Sonya Massey ended up getting shot in the head. Obviously, she did not survive. And let's watch the video and then we will talk about it.
There's a bike sitting back there.
Where?
On the back door. I don't know if it's hers.
I'd love to tap it.
So it's more.
Pretty nice.
Did they contact her? Because someone threw a brick to her.
You want to try and call her 17 back here and let her know we're out front?
17's her phone.
Yes, messed that up good. phone ringing. I think I may have broke her door. You didn't see anybody out walking that way, did you?
No, not when I came in.
I didn't see anybody that way. I hear her phone ringing and she's refusing to come to the door, so we're about to go tonight. She's dead in there.
Oh, let's hope not.
Is this a Ring doorbell?
Yeah, it doesn't work though.
So she called the police, but she's not answering the door right away.
Yep.
Sheriff's office!
Two houses down, I think. Oh, no, it's right here.
So that's Sonia we can hear from inside, right?
I think so. I think so.
Go ahead. She was yelling inside. She told us to hold on. You coming to the door or not? All right. Hurry up.
Out town, bud.
Sheriff's office,
the one you called.
I'll have you down here, and I need you down here. Please don't hurt me.
I don't hurt you. You called us.
Okay.
So what'd you hear?
Somebody keeps outside my house, y'all.
Is this your car over here?
Please.
Is this your car over here?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Please.
That's not your black car in the driveway?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, we checked your yard. We walked around the whole block. We didn't see anybody.
Mm-mm.
We checked the whole area. There's nobody out walking around.
I know, y'all. Please, God. I'm trying to get help, y'all, but...
What do you need help with?
Nothing. I just... Please, God. I don't know what to do.
Do with what?
Huh?
What do you need help with?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if I could help me.
What do you want help with?
Huh?
What do you want help with?
I heard somebody outside.
Yeah, we checked your house. We checked your backyard. I walked all the way through all these backyards. We checked your front yard.
We didn't see nobody.
Yeah,
so.
Nobody's out here.
You didn't see anybody?
Nope.
No.
We checked the whole area.
Okay.
What took you so long to answer the door?
Oh, I was trying to put on some clothes, sir. I'm sorry. I was trying to get
I got gotcha. You. All sorry. Right. Is there anything else we can do for you?
Huh?
Is there anything else I can do for you?
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. All right.
Doing all right mentally?
Yes.
Sure?
My medicine and stuff.
All right. Okay.
I love y'all. Thank y'all.
All right. That's not your black car, though.
So the officer talking to her right now is Sean Grayson.
Oh, yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we can admit, even before anything happens, he's a little bit of a dick.
He's definitely not being polite, for sure. Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's like, you're kind of annoying me. Like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I don't even want to do my job kind of thing. Like,
so
yeah.
If any of this comes off as defense, it's not. So he's not being polite. He's not being very respectful. He's definitely not, I guess the word would be like, he doesn't have like bedside manners. You know, he's not coming with a positive attitude.
He doesn't seem like a public servant, some might say.
I don't agree with it. You could tell he's irritated.
Yes.
You can tell he's annoyed that he's there because clearly he's already come to the conclusion that there's nothing wrong. So right here in this moment, what I'd be thinking is someone called us for an intruder. Okay. Now to me, automatically, you can already tell there's something going on with Sonia. She's not 100% in the right state of mind. So they can see that. They can see that she's doing something, whether she's stressed or there's something deeper going on, which it seems like we're about to get into as far as what he's asking. But what my concern here is just going step by step, if I'm the officer, is we got called here for an intruder. The caller just took a long time to get to the door.
So now
I'm wondering if there's somebody already inside
the
apartment.
Is the intruder inside telling her to tell us that everything's fine? Yeah. And maybe that's why she's acting weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Is she acting weird? But she's on her phone. So it doesn't seem like I wouldn't come to that conclusion based on what I've seen so far where she's on her phone. She seems like she's trying to get back inside, which would be the opposite of what you would try to do if you had someone in there that you didn't want to be with. But still.
Or maybe the person's texting her saying, like, you better get away from that door. Like, I have your kid hostage or whatever. Like,
possible.
You know, you never know. Yeah.
So that's why you can tell. They're asking a lot of questions. He's going right before you said pause. He's going back to this car. He's going back to this car because he's saying, you're telling me it's not your car and yet you're fine and nobody's here. But you called us because something wasn't fine. So he's driving the car home a little bit more because something's not adding up here. And I think at this point he's trying to figure out whether it's just there's nothing going on. It's just she's having a bad night. Or is there something more here that he has to dig a little deeper for? But yes, to answer your question more directly, or your comment, I should say, he's not being very polite. He's not being very respectful where situations like this is how things go bad because you call the cops and, you know, clearly she's going through something. And if it were another person who wasn't going through something, having someone, an officer, speak to you like this can automatically make a stressful situation worse as an adult, you don't want to be spoken to like this. I'll give you a quick example. I got pulled over 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to say the police department because I'm sure some of them watch this video. Local police department. I'm with my daughters. He says I was speeding, and I'll be honest with you. I was not going the speed limit. It was probably 5-10 miles over. He comes up to the car and says I was going like 30 miles over. And I know that wasn't true. I'm telling you guys right now, it wasn't true. He said he got me on radar going the opposite direction on a turn. I know that's not even possible, what he was saying. So I politely say to him, because my kids are in the car, you didn't, all due respect, you didn't get me going 30 over. If you want to write me a ticket, you can. I'm definitely going to fight it, sir, but I respect what you're doing, you know, but I know you didn't get me on radar going 30 over. He knows he didn't get me on radar going 30 over. And I tell him, I'm a former police officer. I'm not trying to cause any problems, but I know how the radar works. Radar, laser, it's different. You didn't get me on radar going 30 over when there's a car in front of me, a car behind me going the same speeds. He goes back to his car. He's gone for about 15, 20 minutes. Takes a long time. Finally, he comes back and we're still very amicable, but he's talking to me. Now, mind you, this young man, probably 10, 15 years younger than me. And I could tell he's brand new. And he comes up to the car and he goes, I'm going to give you a break. But, you know, you got these kids in the car. You got to make better decisions. And I stopped him right there. I said, sir, all due respect, you're not giving me a ticket. I don't need you parenting me. Am I free to go? My kids are in the car. Like I said, I respect what you do. Not trying to cause a problem, but I don't need the advice. Oh, what's the issue? What's the issue? No issue. Just don't need the advice. Are we good? We're good. Give my ID back. Have a good day. So I bring that up because here's a situation where adults who are interacting with law enforcement do not want to be spoken to like that and shouldn't be spoken to like that. So completely agree with you. As you said, talking like a dick.
Like as a woman, if I am afraid of something, even if it's like maybe just in my head, maybe I heard something outside and now I'm afraid and I live by myself and the cops come and they kind of act like this, like I'm an annoyance, like
yeah, an inconvenience.
I'm a burden, an inconvenience. Now I'm going to feel like not heard and I'm also not maybe going to push the issue and be like, well, no, I definitely heard someone outside. Like, can you guys check? Can you guys just hang out for? I'm not going to do that because I feel like I'm a burden. And, you know, we don't want to feel like that. We're going to feel like we're bothering someone, like we're putting a kink in their night. And we're just going to be like, yeah, we're good. We're good. You guys can leave. When in general or in reality, we're definitely still scared, but we don't want to feel like we're bothering people. So, yeah, not the greatest way to handle
it. And just
this.
To add a little bit more to this, Grayson has been, from what we're seeing, and I've seen different stories, he's been with 5 or 6 different departments
Yes, I did see that.
And he's actually had two DUIs. One was when he was in the military, but the DUIs are obviously concerning. But what's even more concerning is that he was on five different police departments at least before this. And the question becomes, and I'm sure we'll find out, why? Why has he been on five different police departments? That is not common. A lot of guys will laterally go from one department to another after they've done their 20 years, but never five or six departments. That's unheard of in my world. So I start to wonder now if this attitude, if this approach could be part of that. So we'll continue the video. Any further things you want to add?
I also want to point out in these clips, you can see Sonia standing next to Grayson. This yeah. guy's a beast.
He's a big dude.
He's huge. he's tall.
He's a big guy, yeah.
He's wide. His arm is the size of her head. She's tiny, maybe yeah. 115 pounds.
What's the first thing she said to him? Please don't hurt me.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally the first words out of her mouth.
He's enormous. He looks like a giant standing next
to
her.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And when we look at what he was alleging to be afraid of, or, you know, when he pulled the trigger, you didn't do that because you weren't afraid. You're going to allege you were afraid. Yeah. You felt you were in danger. And you're looking at the person you're standing across from who you claim you're afraid of, and you got 200 pounds on her and a foot and a half. I'm going to question if you were actually afraid or not.
Okay. And that's a good point. And that kind of goes back to my shooting, but I'll save it. I'll save it for when we get there. As far as what variables are being considered in that moment when you're deciding whether or not to use lethal force. All right, you ready to hit play?
I am.
You don't know? Someone just parked it in your driveway?
Yes. Still asking about the car.
And just left it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's run that.
Yeah.
So he says, let's run that. They're going to run the registration because something's not adding up. They know something's not making sense here. This could be the intruder's vehicle. So this is good. I'm glad they're not just saying, hey, let's just walk away. We're done, which some officers would do. Why we're waiting on this, running this.
Is that gunshots?
Gunshots or fireworks?
Oh, yeah. It was July 6th.
Yeah. All right. So now he's going inside. I don't know why that happened. We missed that part.
I don't think anything happened. I think he just decided to go inside.
Well, she's walking inside. I don't know if she's showing him something. They're checking. Good. This is good.
Hello? Yeah, I got the sheriff department here, but I was coming for help from y'all.
Okay, are you there with the
deputy? They're here in
my house
right now.
Okay, I'll let you go
and you
talk to them.
No, hold on, wait a second.
She's talking to someone on speaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're there with the deputy, correct?
No, hold on, okay?
You can hang on.
Just 1 second, okay?
What's up?
I got some paperwork. Can you grab that Bible, please?
Yeah. Hey, I just need your name so we can get out of here. Was there any damage previous to your car?
Previous, yeah. It was.
What was the damage?
A dent, I believe.
Well, what about windows?
Oh, that? It was something that happened earlier.
Okay. Perfect. What is your last name? Should not think about your last name. Okay. You're not in trouble. I just need to
Massey.
Touch.
Massey.
What? Do you have an ID? That'd make things so much easier.
Yeah.
I just need to get just driver's license.
So have we concluded that the black car is hers?
I didn't get any registration data back. I didn't hear it.
What paperwork?
But he's asking her, do you have any damage to your car?
It sounds like
your ID first, and then
it could be her car. He's asking her about damage to it.
Your ID for me.
Okay.
Your ID. One task at a time. So let's do an ID. And then you can dig around for your paperwork.
I don't know where my ID is.
You have that stack right there, maybe?
Okay. 1 second.
He's already kind of acting like paranoid.
He is. Pause this real quick. Pause it. At this point, I think the paranoia is warranted. I feel like, objectively speaking, something's off here with her. I don't know if it's her fear of the officers. I don't know if it's a fear of someone else who's in the apartment right now that we're unaware of. I don't know if she's going through some type of mental health issue at this point. But they can clearly tell something is wrong. They just don't know what yet. And if you noticed right before we paused it, he pointed to the officer to check the back. he gestured to go back there and look. They're concerned right now. They're definitely nervous that someone's going to pop out on them. And
they don't feel like this is a standard sort of thing that, yeah.
No,
they,
I have, knowing even what happens, I've been in these situations where you walk in and you're at a disadvantage right now. You don't know the layout of the house. You don't know who's there. They know, they can see and hear you if there's someone else there. So they're definitely concerned right now. They don't know what's going on, but you can tell that they're a little defensive and they're nervous. And I have no issue with it at this point. Something is definitely off and they're trying to figure out what that is.
I think it's a little odd, though, because I've had police officers to my house, and one of the first questions they ask is, who else lives here? Is there anyone else here right now? I have not heard them ask her that. If they're concerned about somebody else being in the house, you'd think that would be a question that they would ask.
Yeah, I mean, that is a question they could ask, but at minimum, you would think that if someone else lived there, they would come out and also greet the police officers and not sit in the back room. But yes, that's a question you could ask. I know if police officers were in my home and my friend or significant other called the police, I would be out there with her, you know, to make sure she's okay.
I mean, you don't know if there's people sleeping, it's night, like you don't right. know. It should be asked, yeah.
It should be asked, but either way, the concerns of the officers at this point, in my opinion, warranted. There's definitely something here. I would be concerned about who else is in the apartment. And yes, the simple question would be, is anybody else here? But if someone else is there and they're not supposed to be, even if they say, no, no one else is here, you still don't know. Someone could pop out from a room. They have a gun that close of a range. You're dead. You're done. So, again, I don't know where this is going to go from here. But at this point, it seems like I didn't like how he was acting in the first part. I feel like he's coming back a little bit. He's asking politely. He's being a little pushing. He's pushy a little bit. But it also seems like he's trying to get the information, trying to get out of there as fast as possible because he can tell she's uncomfortable with him for sure. And part of what you said, he's a monster. Look, he's almost his head's almost touching the ceiling. He's huge. All right,
huge.
Good to keep going.
No, we don't need a fire while we're here.
Right.
All right. So the other officer noticed that the pot's boiling when he walked over there.
Where
are you going?
Huh?
Where are you going?
Away from your hot steaming water.
Away from hot steaming water.
Yeah.
Oh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Huh? You better fucking not. I swear to God, I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face.
All right. All right. Whoa. And like I said in the introduction, it really just went downhill in a moment.
Damn. Yeah, it did.
I think she's clearly being, you know, humorous. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he got triggered, man. Triggered. He's like,
oh, okay.
What? You better not. Yeah, she said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I think it's just a.
No, but she's picking
being
up the,
funny.
She's picking up the pot.
And yeah.
She's like leaning it
towards
him.
Well, I don't. But either way, he's like, you better effing not. I swear to God, I'll shoot you in the effing hat. That's unnecessary.
So that's
didn't
the problem.
Need to happen.
So that's the problem.
Clearly, there's anger issues here. Clearly, he goes from 0 to 100. There was no like pass go, no collect $200. It was literally just like, I'm fine to I'm about to shoot you in the head. And this is unacceptable.
So my take on it is this is a situation and I'm going to go through. It might sound contradictory at points. I don't like what she's doing here. She picks up the pot of water. She's facing it toward him. He's in close proximity to her. So it's a threat. It's a danger at that point, because if you get boiling water thrown on you from that close of a range, it could severely injure you. However, we know now from watching the full video, they're on the first floor. The exit is right behind them, right? It's the door is like 6 feet away.
And he's not standing directly in front of her either. He's at least 7-10 feet away. I mean,
that's
she's more than
close enough to throw a pot of boiling water on her. So you have two options here. One is the right one. One is the wrong one. You can say, hey, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face and pull your gun out. That's the wrong option. Or at this point, you can, because she's not a threat to anybody else other than herself, you can step back. You can remove yourself from the situation. The door is right behind you. You've already established that there's no one else in the apartment at this point. She's just there alone. You're not there to protect anyone else. You could easily back up and get out of that apartment before. And now you're out of range of the pot of water. This is not a gun that she has in her hand. So you can easily turn around, back out of this situation and avoid being scalded by water, and also avoid having to escalate the situation by taking out your gun and saying, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face, because that is not going to make the situation better. So I agree that at this point it's concerning that it seems like they were joking about backing up because of the boiling water. She says, I'm going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You say she's doing it. Again, this is all subjective, by the way. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm not disagreeing. I took it as this whole conversation so far, this whole interaction, mentally, there's something going on here. That's my opinion. I'm not a professional, but it doesn't seem like a normal encounter. So when she says, I'm going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus, I didn't take that as humor. You say you did, which is interesting. So there you go. Two different perspectives right there. But either way, regardless of whether it was humor or a verbal threat, you could remove yourself.
It wasn't even like necessarily humor, but just like an offhand statement, not like I'm actually going to throw this boiling water in your face. But either way, like you said, he didn't have to do that.
Escalate or de-escalate.
Yeah, exactly. He could have backed up real quick, stood in the doorway, and then said, ma'am, I feel threatened right now. Can you please put that down before we continue talking anymore?
And by the way, if he backs up towards the door, he's now out of range. So that
he's out of range.
That pot of water that was a threat when he's close is no longer a threat. Done.
It's just like any self-defense trial and case we've ever seen. If you have the ability and the means to retreat,
you should.
It's not self-defense.
Yep. And that's we're going to talk about my shooting after this, because this is actually a really good example when you compare it to my shooting, because the weapon does matter. The weapon that the offender has is extremely relevant to the decision-making process. Okay.
Let's finish the video. Now it's going to get a little...
Yeah, we should give a warning, right?
Yeah. From here, it's going to get a little triggering. And then I believe we're going to see some of the same things from the viewpoint of Deputy Grayson,
which
Sean Grayson. I'm so glad, because we can also see maybe more of her.
And his perspective.
What was her facial expression? Was the pot actually aimed towards him, et cetera?
No, this is good. And a quick, just a thing for police activity. Is the YouTube page that we're using this video from, just to give them credit. They've compiled both videos. So police activity is the one that we're using for this footage. So shout out to them.
Okay,
Drop the fucking pot.
Drop the fucking pot.
19 shots fired.
Shots fired. Drop the fucking pot. Bring EMS now. We got a headshot wound to the female. Headshot wound to female, 1078. Fuck.
Couldn't see a lot because he got in front of the camera, so we'll have to wait for his angle.
I'm gonna go get my kit.
I wish he had a
headshot. Yeah, she's done. You can go get it, but that's a headshot. Fuck. God damn it.
God, fuck.
Dude, I'm not taking fucking boiling water in the fucking head. And look, it fucking came right to our feet, too.
That's stupid.
God damn it.
That's stupid. It rolled to... That's dumb.
He's immediately going into defense mode. Yeah. He knows he fucked up.
Good. Also, let her fucking just...
God.
Is that what you do, man?
Fuck!
There's plenty you could have done. We'll get to that.
You good? Good.
Alright.
You know, what else do we do? I'm not taking hot boiling water to the fucking face, and it already reached us.
That makes no sense.
They got a 52 in route?
Yeah, 1078.
So that's the end of that video. And this is going to switch over to Grayson. Any comments on just that, just before we go to Grace? Because now we're seeing from Grayson's perspective, his body cam.
No, let's just watch it.
Okay, the only thing I have is I'm so glad we have this perspective, because Grayson kind of blocked off the other officer's camera as the shooting was happening. But again, when I was saying to you, he did take steps to the right. Grayson did. Why not take steps back? Right? So he went to the right. If you're willing to make that movement, why not go backwards? Why not go backwards?
You better fucking not. That's where I got. I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face.
Drop the fucking pot!
19 shots fired, Joseph. Shots fired! Drop the fucking pot! Bring EMS now, we got a headshot wound to the female. 1078.
I would guesstimate it's further away than I thought. I would say 10 feet, and she hasn't even picked up the pot yet. She's got her hands
on it. She definitely didn't point it towards him or like tilt it towards
him. Yeah, she's got the pot still on the kitchen stove. So I think at this point, even if she had taken it from that angle and thrown it at him, I mean, it might land at his feet.
It might have splattered him. Yeah, it might have, but like what? You're going to have a few like burns? Like,
well, no, I mean, I don't want any officers just accepting getting burned. But this is another reason why I'm saying he's already 10 feet away. He's already almost out of range. You can back further up. So I'm just going to keep it going here. If you want to stay on me, and Shannon's trying to edit all this, so I apologize to Shannon because she's not going to be able to. I'm pausing it and playing it as I go, but we're at 10:32 right now. I'm just going to play it again and see if she ever picks it up. I don't think she does. I think he pulls out the gun and she kind of flinches.
And then he moves towards her.
Toward her, exactly.
Shoot her in your fucking face.
Flinches, flinches. Is that red, the pot that she picked up right there, or like she's holding an oven mitt? Do you see what I'm saying? That's not the pot. The pot's still on the stove. Am I wrong? I feel like
she doesn't have the pot. She doesn't have the pot.
I feel like the pot is right there. You guys can't see what I'm pointing at. I'm sorry. But it feels like she might have had like an oven mitt or like...
It's like an oven mitt or a towel, like a dish towel.
Yes, yes. The pot is that big silver, you know, cylindrical. Is that how you would say that thing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely not a pot.
So the pot's down and now one of her hands is off the pot.
She has both of her hands off the pot when she crouches down.
19 shots fired.
Shots fired. Drop the fucking pot. Bring EMS now. We got a headshot wound to the female. Headshot wound to the female. 1078. Fuck.
I was on. I'm going to go get my kit.
No, headshot, dude. She's done. You can go get it, but that's
and by the
shot.
Way, no matter, regardless of what you think, you are supposed to administer aid immediately. So him saying you don't need to, that's not policy and procedure.
Dude, I'm not taking fucking boiling water to the fucking head.
As you mentioned, he's trying to justify it right now.
God damn it.
God damn it.
You good?
I'm good. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Holstered up. Let her fucking just... God. There's nothing we can do, man.
Fuck.
You good? Alright. Fuck. Well, I mean, you know, what else do we do? I'm not taking hot boiling water to the fucking face, and it already reached us.
I stand behind what I initially said as far as being able to retreat, and even I feel even more strongly about that now because... We were talking about it initially. It looked initially from the other angle that it might be 5 to 7 feet proximity. Now it looks more like 10 to 12 feet in proximity. So if she were to take that boiling water and throw it at him from that distance, he may get splattered. He may get injured. And I don't want that, which is why he should have retreated at that moment. There's no threat to anyone else other than her. If she decides to splash the water on her own face, that's extremely unfortunate, but she's the only one being injured at that point. So the fact that he decides to engage is just terrible. And again, we're talking about a pot of water. It's only dangerous if you put yourself in range of the water. And then just a comment at the end, you know, the water's running towards us right now. Just a fucking moronic comment, but
yeah,
completely unjustified, completely unwarranted. And I understand the outrage because this was in every sense of the word, it was just wrong. It shouldn't have happened, but I'll let you weigh in. And then I want to talk about a different shooting, my shooting, and you can overlay that on this because it was a different outcome, but it involved different circumstances.
I mean, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, they're never easy.
That was very hard to watch. And it's always hard to watch these kinds of things, but when you literally see this situation go down, knowing that there was a million and one other ways to handle it, and somebody's life was just tragically cut short for no reason other than the, let's be honest, the mental unwellness of the person in that situation that should have been in control. Like, her mental stability is not in question here. That will be determined. But the police are supposed to keep their wits about them, even when the people that they're helping or responding to are not in the best mental state. They're supposed to keep their wits around him. This guy, there's no excuse for him. And remember, when we had first talked about this before I watched the video, I said, wow, first degree murder he's being charged with. First degree murder. I said, that's crazy. It's not premeditated. I thought first degree murder is usually premeditated. I completely understand now why it's a first degree murder charge. I completely agree with it. And I hope that they throw the book at him.
Yeah, they're more than likely arguing that the minute he pulled out his gun, he knew he was going to kill her regardless. That's what they're saying. That in premeditation doesn't have to be days.
Seems like he was just waiting for an opportunity like this, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, it does. It does sound like that. To kind of, and I'll go the shorter version, but I was 23 years old when my shooting happened, and it was a little different. But basically, we got called. It was Easter Sunday. We get called for a 911 hang up. Very common call, happens all the time. Kids playing with the phone, or it could be someone who just is moving things around and they knock it off the hook or they hit a button. Back then, they had the big buttons with like the fire, the rescue, the police. So this is 2007. So we get called to the house. There's multiple officers there. It's me, someone I'm training, and two Spanish-speaking officers, and that will make more sense as we go into the story. This is a unit home. It's an apartment style house where the apartments are stacked on top of each other. We go inside. We don't know why we're there. We have no clue why we're there. We're just trying to figure it out. It could be a home invasion. It could be just a kid playing with the phone. You don't know. You don't know. So your anxiety's up. It's late at night. You don't know what's going on. We get up to the second floor landing, and I'm the first one up the stairs, and I try to speak with the gentleman. He doesn't speak English. So I move aside. Other officer steps in. He's speaking to him in Spanish, and we get the gist of the story that there was a fight. There was some type of altercation between multiple people before we arrived, and some of the people may still be up there. So we go up to the third floor. Again, I'm the first one because now it's this really thin corridor. And as I'm going up to the third floor landing, there's another guy standing there, and it's kind of creepy. He's just looking down at me, not saying anything. So I walk up the stairs, and again, I greet him. Hello, how are you? He doesn't answer me. He starts speaking in Spanish. So again, this time, because there's nowhere for me to go, I walk past him to his right on this little landing on the third floor. So to give you a perspective, behind me is a window. In front of me is the individual. On the stairs is the three officers. And then behind the individual that they're talking to is the apartment door, which is shut at this point. So I'm just sitting there listening to them talk in Spanish. I have no clue what's going on. I can pick up a few words, but not much. And the officer's trying to interpret and relate to us as we're going, and he doesn't get a chance to. All of a sudden, the guy that's standing in between me and the door opens the door and just swings it open, and I don't have no clue why. So I'm standing there now, and I can see in the apartment, it's completely dark. The apartment is in complete darkness, but the best way to describe it is there's like three or four doors down this hallway, and I can see the door frames, but I can't see inside the rooms. Except for one of the rooms, the one furthest in the back, there's some light emitting from the room. So at least the lamp is on in that room where I can see the door frame and I can kind of see that maybe someone's in there, maybe someone's not, but it's the light's on. So within a couple seconds, all of a sudden this figure comes out of the room and I cannot see them. I can't see if it's a man or a woman. I can't see what they're wearing. They're just backlit by this room light. But fortunately, I see this like outline, this silhouette, and as I'm kind of starting at their head and working my eyes down, I can see that there's this one thing that doesn't align with a human body, and it's this long silhouette of a knife down by their side, like by their hip area, and I immediately recognize what it is. So I pull my gun out, and I yell, knife, and I take the guy that's on the stairs, and I push him towards the officers. Now, mind you, the officers can't see what I'm seeing. They're like, what the fuck is going on right now? So I push this dude into them. And as soon as I do, the silhouette comes running towards me. Now, to give a little context, in law enforcement, it has been done through numerous experiments and different scenarios that if someone is within 21 feet of you with a knife, they can get to you and still kill you even if they're shot. It takes a couple seconds for it to happen. You can still be killed. So if you're within 21 feet of someone and you don't have the ability to retreat, you do have the legal right to shoot them. I didn't. I backed up and I fell into the window screen and I almost went out the window. And as I'm sitting there with my butt like in the window with my gun pointed at the guy, he gets to the apartment door. Now I can see him clearly, bloodshot eyes, not speaking to any of us. We're talking to him in Spanish and English. He's got a huge knife in his hand and he's just kind of sitting in the doorframe looking at us with the knife up above his head. Why I didn't shoot him, I don't know. I probably was going to get killed if in that situation I screwed up, but I just for some reason didn't pull the trigger. I think I was caught off guard. So a few seconds go by. He then retreats about 2-3 feet, slams the door shut and locks it. Now, at this point, we've established that there's some type of altercation where this individual has already stabbed someone. We don't know if that person's in the apartment still or where they are, if they're dead, if they're injured, or if he's going to hurt himself. So now we can't walk away. We can't just go, oh, all right, well, I guess we can't do nothing. So we kick the door in. I kick the door in, comes off the hinges, and the guy's already waiting for us, still in the darkness in the kitchen. He's kind of in an area where he's not blocked off. He can still retreat, but he's not. He's holding his ground about 8-10 feet away from us. All three of us go into the apartment. We kind of surround him, but not really, and you'll know more in a second. But again, we're telling him multiple times, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife, in Spanish and in English. The only word I can make out is fuck you. That's all I can understand. He's not saying much of anything else. And within a couple seconds, he gets around us. He retreats down this hallway that I described at the beginning. But instead of going into the lit room, he goes into this back room where it kind of cuts to the right. I can't see in it at all. So this hallway is really, really narrow. We have to stack up. And just the way it happened, I was the first one in the stack. But now I have three guys behind me. So we walk into the room. We all have our guns drawn, or I have my gun drawn, and I think one other officer had his gun drawn. Flashlights are out because it's pitch black. And as soon as I come around the corner, this room is approximately 10 by 10 feet. There's a window in the back corner. This individual has their back to me, and they're trying to open the window. It's where the fire escape is. We learned later that he was trying to kill the two people. It was his girlfriend and a friend. He had caught them cheating on him. He was going to kill them both. He had stabbed one of them in the foot before we got there because they were protecting themselves. And that's who called the police. But he was trying to use the fire escape to get back to them because they were on the second floor. So what he doesn't realize is because he's extremely intoxicated and on some other substances that there's a piece of wood in the window. So he's trying to open it and it's not opening because the wood's there. If he would have just removed the wood, he would have been able to get out. So instead, he turns around, puts the knife over his head, and runs at me. And at this point, there's nowhere for me to go. I've now moved into the room. The wall is behind me, and he's only about 7 feet away from me at that point. So I did shoot him. And even after shooting him, I still had to move, and he hit the wall behind me. And as he hit the ground, he still had the knife. Unfortunately, he didn't survive his injuries. But I say all this story to say, take that and overlay it over what we had here. The inability to retreat, a knife opposed to a pot of boiling water, multiple attempts to de-escalate the situation. And when the state police came in, because you always have an outside party look at these cases, the only criticism they really had of my shooting was that I waited too long to shoot him. He had guns stippling on his chest. And if I didn't hit him where I did, he would have stabbed me in the head. He would have stabbed me in the head. I wouldn't be here with you. So that was the only criticism. And just for anyone to kind of wrap the story up, every shooting goes to a grand jury hearing, regardless of the circumstances. I was cleared at grand jury after they had the opportunity to speak with me. Once they like kind of got together to talk about it, they deliberated for 8 minutes. And the major reason why that was is because the person that I shot, his name was Selvin Guardado, 27 years old. I have no ill will towards him, even to this day. His parents testified on my behalf. To say he was going to kill them or they were going to kill him. That's the only way this was ending. So I say all that to say you have to look at the situation. I was in it and I was in fear of my life when I shot him. Was this officer in fear of his life when he shot Sonia? For all the reasons that we've already laid out, his size, the ability to retreat, the weapon being used, and not even talking about the details of how she was holding the quote-unquote weapon, which that's still up for debate. There is no way to justify shooting this woman. And I do agree with you that it almost seemed like he was waiting for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting for someone to try him. And you could tell almost instantly he's trying to look at his partner and justify what he just did.
He's almost trying to be like, well, we had no other choice, right? And the guy's like, we, bitch, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's like, well, the water's coming towards us, see? He's like trying to almost like set the narrative and or almost say to him, like, we better get on the same page.
Right. And there's a power dynamic there. I'm speculating, but it looks like to me,
Grayson's in charge.
Yeah, Grayson's been on the job probably longer. This might be a newer guy. I wouldn't be surprised because a couple times he sends him to go run the plate. He sends him to go check the back room.
Mm-hmm.
That's a seniority.
He's calling
thing.
The shots. Yeah,
that's a seniority thing. I don't know the difference in time on the job, but this is a completely unjustified shooting. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You're not going to hear many officers defend this. I will say, if it was another situation where they're in a room and the officer doesn't have the ability to retreat and he's only 4 to 6 feet away from her, if she was picking up the pot and had the ability to throw it in his eyes, you could blind him. So that is something where under those circumstances, we may have a different situation, but that's not what we have here.
But it's not even like she was like, I'm about to throw this water in your face. She didn't even make a threat.
I'm more concerned about the fact that she doesn't even look like she's getting ready to throw it at him. That's why, like, the video doesn't lie.
Dude, not even a little bit, okay?
No,
not even a little bit.
I agree with everything you said as far as the charges and what happened here. And I've always said, I will defend police officers when they're doing the right thing. I am pro-law enforcement. I believe that we need officers. We need good officers out there protecting us. But
this guy ain't it.
This guy is not it. And so what you need to do here is make an example of him to let everyone know this will not be tolerated. And it's going to be something where if you do it, you are going to find yourself in a really bad situation and probably lose your freedom. So
I'm just saying, thank God he's off the streets, honestly. Like, it's
unfortunate
sad
that
it
took this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad they had to come to this. But
five,
like,
or six times, different departments.
I'm sure there's a lot of people in Springfield that are like, yes, that this guy needed to be found out.
Wait until his jacket comes out.
Yep. I'm sure there's a lot of people who have interactions with him that they're like, yeah, we knew something like this was going to happen. I'm sure there's a ton of complaints against him. So
I don't know.
We'll see.
And I haven't seen many officers defending him. Maybe there are, but I haven't seen any. So, and now I can see why, but terrible case. We feel
there's
bad.
Nothing to defend. There's,
no, there's nothing.
Literally
there's
nothing.
Nothing
to defend.
Our thoughts are obviously with Sonia's family. There's more.
I know she has kids. She's got kids.
She's got kids. And from what they were saying, they didn't even know for up to 24 hours who shot Sonia.
Uh-uh.
So there's definitely a lot going on here. It'll be outside agencies that investigate the case. It won't be his police department. It'll be the state police
good.
Or the FBI even could get involved. So we'll see how it all plays out. I hope this video isn't too jumbled. We don't normally do it like this. So hopefully that all makes sense. And any final words from you? I mean, it's pretty cut and dry, right? There's not really much to debate.
I'm disgusted. Honestly, I'm disgusted.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, there's not much to debate. It's another stain on law enforcement. And unfortunately, it cancels out a lot of the good things because these incidents are what people are going to focus on. And honestly, rightfully so, because we have so much power as police officers to see this type of abuse. It's really troubling and it's a concerning factor because you're allowing these individuals to have this power. And what about the ones that are not caught on tape? And what about the ones where we don't necessarily hear about it because it doesn't get to this point? But again, it's a situation where police officers abuse their position, and you know, it creates this distrust amongst the community, which makes the job harder for all the good cops. And so that's where I am on it. I got nothing else.
No, I have nothing else.
We appreciate you guys being with us, and hopefully everyone's okay after watching that video. We will be back later this week. And I should also say, I didn't even think about it when we did this, but apologies to everyone on audio, because this video is not going to make much sense to anyone who's on audio. I apologize.
They can watch along, though.
They can watch along. If you're trying to watch this one or listen to this one, I should say, in your car, probably not going to go well. didn't think about that. But you needed context. You needed the videos. You couldn't do it without it. So if you haven't watched the video and you're listening on audio, listen to it. Then go watch the video yourself. That's going to do it for us.
Damn, yeah.
Everyone stay safe out there. And we will see you later this week for part three of the final part of this series regarding Dr. Thomas Coleman. We're going to wrap this series up. Audio will be out on Friday. Video will be out on Sunday. Everyone take care, and we'll see you later this week.
Bye.